Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 6. In verse 66, from that time, and we're talking about events that just took place where Jesus gave them a very challenging and difficult saying. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. It's amazing how commonly that happens. It happened to Jesus, it'll happen today too. That people will go follow after God, they will be faithful, they will enjoy it until they're challenged. And then some people, many really, it says here, will react at the challenge. Perhaps the challenge is a hard saying, and they will be offended by a hard saying. If you get a hard saying, understand something. That hard saying is hard not because of the saying, but because of the old sin nature. But the hard saying is vital for our lives. Often hard sayings include those things that we cling to that are actually harming us in our life with God, but our flesh clings to the things that the hard saying is addressing. In this case, he was addressing their relationship to him. They came on the basis of having been blessed, and in this case, it was food he gave them. They all got fed. They enjoyed it. They were blessed by it. They thought it was awesome. They followed him. The next day, he gives them a challenging saying, which essentially meant it's not about the food that you received, it's about the relationship you have with me and what I do in your life. And that was too much of a challenge for them. They responded in pride rather than in humility. And the pride made it a hard saying. What is a hard saying when it comes to the Word of God? God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is a hard saying when it comes to the Word of God? And so if I have a hard saying, please understand, it's not that the Word of God is hard. It's that my relationship is through a hardened heart, and therefore the saying appears to be hard. Then it continues, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What an amazing response. The hard saying, Lord, that everybody else reacted at except a few, that hard saying was the words of eternal life. That hard saying is what got me to pass from death unto life. In my practical experience and in my position. That hard saying is what develops the life and the character of God in me. That hard saying is what develops the love of God in me and how I get to know the love of God. That hard saying is where I find the purpose of God in my life. You see, it's not just about a hard saying. The hard saying can be anything that happens in our lives, not just from the Word of God. The details of our life. Well, that's a hard detail. How many people have quit a call from God because the details got difficult? Well, you know what? To them, that was a hard saying. And the details got challenging and they said, well, I can't deal with this challenge, therefore I'm going to leave God. How do you even begin to make that equation when He takes care of all your needs, but people do? Your situations can be your hard sayings. And sometimes they challenge you. Peter had the best confession. You have the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? God, where am I going to go? This circumstance has the words of eternal life. This circumstance is life imparting. In Romans 5, 2-5, this circumstance teaches me the love of God and produces it in me. It teaches me how to have confident expectation in you. It teaches me the character of God. But for some people, it's a hard saying. The thing about Peter is he made a very good confession. However, when Jesus was crucified, Peter had not yet answered his own question. He said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." But then Jesus was crucified. Well, if Jesus is crucified and he has the words of eternal life, then to whom shall I go, Lord? Peter hit a time of uncertainty. And this is ordained for all of us. We will all hit times of uncertainty. They are predetermined by God. Ecclesiastes 3:11, there is a purpose and a season for times of uncertainty that is part of the plan of God. These times of uncertainty. Right now, with this virus everywhere, many people in the world are facing times of uncertainty, and some people are having trouble coping with those times of uncertainty. I've had a number of times of uncertainty in my life. I've been attacked viciously on numerous occasions because of the things that I preach or the fact that I preach them. I've had twice when I've lost my pastor. One time, my pastor, who was my spiritual father, went home to be with the Lord. That is a time of uncertainty. One time, my pastor was called suddenly to a different field, and that was a time of uncertainty because I was not called to go with him. People have relationship issues, and these become times of uncertainty. Sometimes their jobs produce times of uncertainty. Sometimes just circumstances in general produce these times of uncertainty. Whatever the cause of your uncertainty, it has been ordained by God. Please understand, when you hit your time of uncertainty, it has been ordained by God. When Peter hit his time of uncertainty, he had not answered the question, "What do I do in uncertainty?" Because while Jesus is here, I have certainty. But then when he was no longer there, he was crucified. This was something Peter wasn't altogether prepared for, although Jesus told him ahead of time it was coming. But Peter in John 21, verse 3, he said, "I'm going fishing. I hit my time of uncertainty, and I'm going to go back to that which I understand in my natural mind because I don't know what else to do." And he took several of the disciples with him. And that can happen. The way that a person, especially a person who was considered to be someone to follow, as with the disciples and Peter, if that person doesn't know how to deal with his time of uncertainty, he may take other people with him into a wrong response. You're going to get times of uncertainty. You've been ordained those times. They have been designed for you. God planned them that way. You will get times of uncertainty. So when those times of uncertainty come, it's important that we know how to respond. In 1 Corinthians 7, and verse 17, the Word of God says, "As God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches." As God has distributed to every man. We are members in particular of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27. We each have a unique portion in that body. God is saying whatever your portion is in the body of Christ, whatever expression and manifestation of Christ and the gifts that he has given you, you possess. Walk in those. Whatever your calling is, walk in it. Even in your times of uncertainty, walk in this. Express them in the body of Christ. Be faithful to the body. Express and be faithful to your call. Do not stop. Do not stop just because you have hit a time of uncertainty, be it transition or hardship or whatever. Do not stop. There can be a temptation to look around, say, okay, I have to assess things now. Nothing has actually changed in your time of uncertainty. Places may change, personalities may change, but your call has not changed. Your gifts have not changed. God's purpose has not changed. God's will for your life has not changed. God's plan for your life has not changed. Continue. Manifest the gifts you have. Continue. Express the portion that you possess within the body of Christ. Continue in the body of Christ. And this is how God ordains in all churches, it says there. In 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he has been called. Let him remain in it. Let him dwell in it. Let him practice and exercise the same calling that he has been called in. Let him abide in it. When you hit a time of uncertainty, don't change things around. That's not the time to make changes. Stay, abide, continue, but don't make changes. One of the mistakes that can be made is when a time of uncertainty comes, people want to make changes. They look around and they see the circumstance. And then they evaluate what their preference would be in the circumstance. They look around and they see the people. And they evaluate the people. And this is brought on simply by the uncertainty. Uncertainty is not a basis for evaluation. Uncertainty is not a basis for decision or change. In time of uncertainty, Proverbs 24:21 says, "Fear the Lord and meddle not with them given to change." I remember one situation where there was a very large change in a certain place, and people started to change their doctrine. That's not something you want to do. You never change your doctrine. You never tamper with the Word of God that you have been taught. In Romans 16:17, when that happens and somebody does that, you want to get away from them, avoid them, and mark them. Because this is not a good thing to tamper with the Word of God. Tamper with what you believe. Don't mess with it. The Word of God is true regardless of your situations. Don't mess with it. The Word of God is eternal regardless of your situation. The same Word of God that is eternal came to be living in the flesh here on earth in John 1:14. That is the very same Word by which all things were created in Hebrews 11:2. Don't mess with it. Don't change it. Don't change your practices. Continue. Continue in your times of uncertainty. Hold fast to the things that you have received in your times of uncertainty. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." In Numbers 23:19, God doesn't suddenly change His mind about things. God doesn't suddenly say, "Okay, you've hit a time of uncertainty, let's change the way we handle things. Let's change the way we go about them. Let's change our relationship to the Word of God. Let's change our relationship to the other people." God never says that kind of a thing, but people do say that. And they are in error when they do so. In times of uncertainty, be still. Continue. Don't change how you do things. Don't change the things you do. Be still. Uncertainty is a part of the plan of God. In the same way that where you go to church or who your pastor is or maybe the outreach you're involved in or what have you in your life with God. Uncertainty is a part of the plan of God. There is a purpose in your uncertain times. Don't mess with God's purpose by trying to change the details of your responses. When Peter went fishing in John 21, Jesus came to him in verse 5, and to the other disciples also, and he asked them, "Children, do you have any meat?" Now before this, he said he no longer calls them servants, he calls them friends, but now he doesn't call them friends, he calls them children, because their response was immature. They did not have a doctrinal spiritual response. So he calls them children. And he's alluding, of course, to the fact that they've been fishing all night. He said, "Okay, children, you've changed what you were doing. You were following me. You were walking with me. You were winning the lost. I was sending you out two by two. You were doing great. You were getting to know me. And then a time of uncertainty came, and you went back to the things of the natural man. So children, how well is that working for you? You have any meat? You've been fishing all night. You catch anything?" And they answered him, "No. We don't have beans." They said, "No." And Jesus says to them, "And come and dine," in verse 12. "Come to me and I'll give you something." Very much the same way that he met them originally, before they learned anything, before they knew him, before they saw what he did, before they experienced who he was, before they received his word, they went to the same place, so he meets them in the same place. And he says, "Come here and I'll give you something to eat." And none of his disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. All of a sudden they realize, we are back where we started. And he has met us here again. A little bit of conviction came in. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And some people think he's referring to the other disciples. That's silly. He's referring to the fish. "Do you love me more than these fish that, by the way, I just served you and you were not able to catch? Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And that was a different word for love. Jesus was using the word agape and Simon was using the word phileo. And what he's saying is, "Lord, you're asking me if I love you with an everlasting love, or you are asking me if I love you with patience and kindness, not thinking anything evil, not doubting you, being patient in your plan, being kind in my attitude toward your purpose. God, do I love you that way? No, but I do have a fond affection for you." And Jesus said, "If that's where you are, then feed my lambs. I'll take it. Then feed my lambs." What was Jesus doing here? Jesus was bringing him back to what he had been taught. In 2 Timothy 3:14, this is the single most important thing in times of uncertainty. This is the key for handling times of uncertainty. "Continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them from." He's saying two things here. And this is, of course, the Apostle Paul, as he is now facing his death, which is imminent and soon coming, and he knows it. And he's giving his final farewell to his young disciple, somebody that he spiritually brought up and trained him to be a pastor. He says to this young pastor, "Continue in the things you have learned. Don't leave them behind. Do not forsake them. Continue in them." and know who taught you these things. Now, he's not saying, be faithful to me as a pastor, because he was about to die, and he knew it. His execution was days away. No, what are you saying? The things that I've taught you, remember that it was me who taught you these things. Now, this is also very important. We can sometimes understand why it is important to continue in the things that we have learned. But it is equally important to know who we have learned them from. When my pastor, Dr. Stevens, who was my spiritual father, had his heart attack, and he had a severe heart attack. Doctors thought he was going to die there and then, but prayer kept him alive. He was showing all the signs of death in the hospital, but people prayed, and God gave him more time. Little did we know at the time that those few more years that God gave him were simply goodbye years. But when that took place, I remember hearing of it, and I prayed, Lord, what are we going to do without Pastor Stevens? Anybody who has a pastor who teaches as richly as he did, who loves the body of Christ the way he loved them, that he invested in them, knows what I'm talking about. What are we going to do without Dr. Stevens? And the Lord said to my heart very clearly, he said, you will continue in the things that he taught you. This is what the apostle is saying here to the young pastor. Continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. But the knowing part was important for me, and it is important, I believe, for everyone. The Word of God says so. Why? Because strangers' voices can come in. Because in times of uncertainty, we have to know who we learned it from so that we don't listen to the stranger's voice. In a situation like that where I lost my pastor, strangers' voices did come in. People trying to change doctrine, people trying to change the way he did things in some cases. People saying, well, we don't believe this anymore in some cases. Well, those are strangers' voices. But I always remember thinking to myself, that's not what my pastor taught me. I would say, that's not how Dr. Stevens taught it. That's not what Dr. Stevens said. That's not what Dr. Stevens did. And whenever I would encounter somebody who thought this way, I would always say, yes, but my pastor taught me this. Because I knew who I had learned it from. It was a source of protection. Knowing what you have learned is only protected so long as you know who you have learned it from. That is extremely important. We don't want to be blown about by every wind of doctrine in times of uncertainty. My pastor taught me this. This is what I'm going with. I'm not saying that he was a better man than other men or a better pastor than other pastors, but he was the pastor I was called to. He was my pastor. He taught me this. The fruit of his life showed the truth of his message. He taught me this. And so this is what I stayed with. Some people did not, and they went a different way than I did. But I know what my pastor taught me. And that's what I chose to stay with. That was my protection. Well, that's why it's given. Paul says, remember what you learned, that you learned it from me. You want to stay with Paul's doctrine, he says. There will be many other voices but you want to stay with Paul's doctrine, the doctrine your pastor gave you, that will protect you. To this day, every single day, I listen to recordings from Dr. Stevens' messages and classes. It's still pastoring me. It's not the same as having a pastor that you can speak to, but his messages still speak to me. Knowing what you have learned, and knowing who you have learned it from, and not departing from it. This is our protection in times of uncertainty. This is our clarity in times of uncertainty. This becomes our definition in times of uncertainty. You get through a time of uncertainty and you encounter another one. And again, you stay and continue in the things you have learned, knowing what it was that you learned and knowing who it was that taught you those things. And it will sustain you. In Philippians 4:9, the Word of God says, "Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Those things which you have both learned and received. You might have learned them once but not received them. Receive them now then. And heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Well, God gives me peace that passes all understanding in Philippians 4:7. And this keeps my heart and my mind. One of the things about times of uncertainty is they can get into your thinking and cause anxiety. But you know, that's not necessary. Just continue and do those things that you have been taught. Do those things which you have seen in your pastor. What you have learned from him, do that. And the God of peace will be with you, giving you a peace that passes understanding. And that will keep, it will maintain and protect your heart, your frame of reference, and your thinking through Christ. If you're unsure what to think at those times or how to apply what you have learned, ask of God in James 1:5 and He will answer you in abundance. It's a sure deal that way. In Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. What do I do in times of uncertainty? I get renewed in the spirit of my mind. How do I do that? I do that through the Word of God. I go to the Word of God and I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. And I put on the new man. Now, that phrase, put on, is the aorist middle infinitive. Aorist is a continuing action. Middle voice means that I produce the action and I receive its effects, its benefits. And it means continue to put on without interruption. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and continue to put on without interruption the new man. Continue without interruption your life in Christ. Continue having the right identity as the one new man, as the new creature. Continue with the right decisions. Continue with the right thinking, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. It has built in you the character and nature of God. So continue in that character and nature. Times of uncertainty are not pleasant. They can be very challenging sometimes. They can leave you with more questions than answers, it seems. But they are ordained. Now, Satan will not lose opportunity. He's very careful to watch for opportunity. And in a time of uncertainty, Satan will act because he sees it as opportunity. Sometimes Satan is the one who brought the uncertainty, not always by any measure, but sometimes God allowed him to with purpose. When you enter a time of uncertainty, in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober in your thinking. Be vigilant. In other words, watch carefully. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober in your thinking and be vigilant. In times of uncertainty, it can be very tempting for us to become self-oriented in our thinking. We may see it as a means of self-defense, and because it's a time of uncertainty, we allow our circumstances to justify bad thinking or bad decisions. But be sober and be vigilant. In Ephesians 6:11, stand firm against the wiles of the devil. Be sober and be vigilant. In Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. This is one of the strongest defenses and provisions that we have. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is not only referring to the six lust patterns. Lust refers to anything that we desire outside of the will of God. And so it says, walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill any desire outside of the will of God. How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. To abide in Christ and Christ in me means that I abide in the love of God. I keep myself in the love of God, and I do this by looking for mercy in Jude 21. And I have the Word of God abiding in me. I keep the Word and I preserve it in my heart. We don't keep it in terms of a performance. That's not what the Word means. We keep it like you keep something. Somebody says to you, can you keep this for me for a week and I will get it back from you in a week? And so you keep it in your possession for a week. You don't let it get away from you. Likewise with the Word of God. You keep the Word of God. You don't let the Word of God get away from you. You let it reside inside of you and you reside inside of the love of God. That means the Word of God resides in your thinking and you reside in your orientation to the love of God. It says in verse 5 there, I am the vine and you are the branches. So I have a life source. In times of uncertainty, recognize you have a life source. You have a source of edification. You have a source of being built up. You have a way to be sustained. God gives you this life source. The situation which is causing the uncertainty, that was not prior to the uncertainty your life source. When my pastor went home to be with the Lord, he was the architect of my faith. Yes, he is the one who taught me and trained me in the Word of God. Yes, but he was not my life source. He brought me to my life source, but now I have the life source. Once he brought me to my life source, I had that whether my pastor was there or not. I still possess it to this day. I have a life source. My life source is what? Abide in the love of God and let the Word of God abide in you. That's it right there. Abide in the love of God and let the Word of God abide in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Well, that's what we're interested in. We want the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the result of a healthy life with God. This is the end result that God is after in all things, that we have much fruit. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, that we have all the things that emanate from the love of God, whether it's joy or peace or self-control. No matter what it is, all of the things that emanate from the love of God, this is what God wants for us. My pastor taught me how to live a life with God, and so I continue to live it. Continue in the things that you have learned, Paul said, knowing whom you have learned them from. Continue in this life. Continue in the Word of God. Continue in prayer. Continue in outreach. Continue in the fruit of the Spirit, because you keep yourself in the love of God through mercy, and you keep the Word of God in your frame of reference. Continue in this. In Galatians 5:13, you will then serve one another by love, because you have the fruit of the Spirit. In time of uncertainty, don't close in unto yourself. Don't separate yourself. Sometimes people will do that because they are afraid. Whatever the reason is, it's always some manner of self-preservation. No, when you hit a time of uncertainty, serve one another by love. In John 13, 34 and 5, if you do this, you will fulfill your call. Serve one another by love. In 2 Peter 1, 5, the Word of God says, for this reason, and the reason was that Christ has given us exceeding great and precious promises in verse 4. For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is the word arete. It means godly thinking. It comes from the word arhin, which means manliness. Think like a man. Think as a mature person. How do I think like a man? Well, 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, quit like men, be strong. How do I quit like a man? You don't quit. That's how you quit like a man. You don't quit. A man doesn't quit. A mature believer doesn't quit. Somebody with backbone doesn't quit. Somebody with character doesn't quit. This is what he's talking about. Add to your faith mature, godly thinking, so that you think like a mature, godly adult. It's very important in times of uncertainty. In times of uncertainty, we can get projections that can lead us to things like insecurity or self-pity. Maybe we are hurting as a result of our time of uncertainty. And the hurting is not wrong. It may be to the glory of God. It may be a source of rewards. God bottles the tears. But we still want to have godly thinking, even if we are hurting. Add to your faith virtue, thinking with the Word of God. To your virtue, add knowledge, which means doctrine. You have sober adult thinking. Add doctrine to your thinking. Let your sober adult thinking be in doctrine. And keep taking that doctrine in. To your knowledge, you add self-control. Times of uncertainty can make us be impetuous. It can make us make decisions out of fear rather than out of the Word of God or the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can see this time of uncertainty is causing some anxiety, and therefore I want to get rid of the anxiety. I want to hold on to something that makes me feel safe. But sometimes what makes me feel safe is fishing. And that's not the place to go with it. To self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance is a quality of patience that you have when you have the love of God. To perseverance, add godliness, and to godliness, add brotherly kindness. In your perseverance, don't forget other people. In your times of uncertainty, recognize that other people are there, both because you need them and they need you. Respond to people with brotherly kindness, even if you are afraid. Maybe they are the ones who are bringing the time of uncertainty. Be kind to them anyway. Jesus said, love your enemies. And so if somebody is causing my time of uncertainty and it is a specific person who is behind it, I love them anyway. Now, I didn't say you have to like them, but love them. Love your enemies. Jesus uses the word agape. He doesn't use the word filio here. In this passage, it's brotherly kindness because you're dealing with people in the body of Christ. Then it continues in verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Call and election. Call is kleesin, it means an invitation. Election is eklogin, and it means the actual acceptance of the call. You have accepted a call. You walked in it for some time prior to your time of uncertainty. Be firm in that. That's what the word sure is saying. You accepted a call. God gave you the call. You responded to the call. You walked in the call. Stay firm in your call and your election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You cannot go wrong by staying true to the call. You cannot go wrong by loving one another. You cannot go wrong by serving one another with love. As a matter of fact, that's the way you fulfill the call. You cannot go wrong with doctrinal thinking. You cannot go wrong with controlling your responses, having that self-control where you are, in fact, directed by God, where your steps are ordered. Make those things firm in your life, in your times of uncertainty. You have a call, don't let your uncertainty take you out of it. No, double down on your call in times of uncertainty. In Matthew 7:24, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. How much more for us in times of uncertainty is this so? In times of uncertainty, we stay true to the Word of God, the things we have learned, and it becomes a firm foundation so that we will not be moved. So that when the testing comes, the uncertainty comes, the attacks come, the loss comes, whatever it happens to be that is causing your time of uncertainty, it will try to knock you down, but it cannot. If you are established in the Word of God, that is the rock, you don't leave the Word, you get even more established. you continue all that much more. You stay all the more faithful. You trust God all the more. You draw near and abide in Him all the more because there is a time of uncertainty. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, you must endure hardship. You must endure hardship. This is true for every person. You must endure hardship. You must endure uncertainty. You must endure testing, trials. You must endure them. Disappointments, loss. You must endure them. Atmospheric warfare against you. You must endure them. Endure them as a good soldier. A good soldier, when the battle comes, doesn't run. A good soldier finds a good defensive position, and from that good defensive position, whenever possible, he goes on the attack. A good soldier isn't surprised that there is a battle. A good soldier is prepared and expectant of the battle. He knows he has gotten into a battle. And because he stays true to the training that he has received, he knows what to do in the battle, and he knows how to overcome. He knows how to win the battle. Times of uncertainty are a similar type of a battle. We're not surprised by the times of uncertainty. We're not intimidated by them, but we do recognize our need in them. That we need to stay in certain things from the Word of God. That we need to utilize that Word. That will protect us. That there is an enemy out there and we can still fight a good fight. That we stay true to the body of Christ. That we stay faithful in our call. We're good soldiers. And our response in 2 Timothy 4:5 is that we are watchful in all things and we endure afflictions. We do the work of an evangelist. We fulfill our ministry in times of uncertainty. Timothy was facing tremendous uncertainty because Paul was sentenced to die. Imagine this. Paul was giving new doctrine. Yes, much of that doctrine was rooted in the Old Testament, in things like the Psalms and the writings of the prophets. But he was giving a new covenant, a new doctrine. Paul didn't have another pastor to go to, really. Oh, there was John and Apollos and some different ones, but there were so few of them at the time. So the apostle told him, this is what you do when I'm gone, when you hit your time of uncertainty. You endure it as a good soldier and you continue. And just like you are watchful now, you will be watchful then. Just like you endure afflictions now, you will endure afflictions then. Just like you do the work of an evangelist now, you will do the work of an evangelist then. Just like you fulfill your ministry now, you will fulfill your ministry then. The uncertainty doesn't change anything. Oh, it may change place or it may change personality. But it doesn't change you and it doesn't change your call. It doesn't change the plan of God for your life. In 1 Peter 1:25, the word of God endures forever. And this is the word that is preached unto you. It endures forever. It doesn't endure with the presence of certain circumstances or places or people. It was preached to you perhaps by people in a place, in a circumstance. but it transcends any of those. It endures forever. In Hebrews 6:18, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation. What are those two immutable things? In verse 17, doctrine and promises. When you hit your time of uncertainty, hold on to doctrine, but also hold on to the promises of God. Doctrine takes care of your present. The promises take care of your future. The past you don't have to worry about. Hold on to doctrine and hold on to the promises. Those will be your comfort. Those will be what strengthen you in your uncertainty. So hold on to them. In Proverbs 3:6, in times of uncertainty, acknowledge God in all your ways. Don't ever think that because it is a time of uncertainty, now I have to make the decisions and I call the shots. No, nothing has changed. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Your time of uncertainty was ordained by God. There is a season for it in Ecclesiastes 3:1. In verse 11, your time of uncertainty is beautiful in its duration. You may not see it as beautiful, but it is. It's beautiful in its duration. It's like finding a rose but staring at a thorn. And you say, that thorn is not beautiful, but the rose is. And the thorn is a part of that rose. Step away to look at the big picture, and what you see is a rose, not a thorn. Your time of uncertainty is like that also. The plan of God has designed it because He loves you. The plan of God has designed it for your sake. It came from Him. And it came to conform you to His image. God has not abandoned anyone in times of uncertainty. It doesn't make much difference what has happened to bring the uncertainty. God doesn't abandon anyone in times of uncertainty. He is still there in Isaiah 42 and verse 6 to take you by the hand and keep you. He will still take care of you. He will still guide you. He will still use you. He will still provide for you. He still has called you. And He still has a purpose for you. His promises are still true. And His word is still reliable. Hold on to that word. When you see it from an eternal frame of reference in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3, then you can understand what God is doing in your time of uncertainty. That it's revealing the purpose and the love of God. You may not understand how it works out in the details and the mechanics of it, but you can accept the reality of its beauty. That God has not given you a thorn, He has given you a rose. That is your time of uncertainty. And then in verse 12, I know that nothing is better for them, for a person, than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Now, your time of uncertainty may come with some sorrow, and that's understandable, of course. Sometimes times of uncertainty produce sorrow. But take joy in this, that except for situations or personalities, perhaps, Nothing has really changed. The Word of God is there. The call of God is there. The promises of God is there. The love of God is there. So continue to abide in them. And you will be fruitful in your time of uncertainty. Amen? If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell Him that you will receive the gift that He's given you, His mercy, and that He has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.